Fourth, February 34.
No, of 13.
Yeah, born in 13.
He was born in 1913.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So he was 34, or 21.
21, when he started.
When he began work at the spring of 34.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did he have a job with this Connolly Trucking Company
he worked,
when he went up?
No. You applied, I think, through the county seat. Put your name in and
for,
sign up for work, and then they would call the county and put
for a job.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And Mary tells in her essay that there were three of them came up from is it Judith County?
From it was Judith Basin or County.
Judith Basin County.
Mm-hmm. And Stanford was the county seat.
Uh huh.
And it still is, but it's pretty small.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys were not in Fergus.
No, Urban was. I was teaching in Judith Basin County up, you know, where the old gold saffron mines are?
Yeah.
Up there in that, what they call Pig Eye Basin?
That's where Pig Eye Basin is.
Yeah, they called it the Pig Eye School, but then officially it was the Sapphire.
Okay.
Everybody called it the Pig Eye School. And I taught there 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
30...
Yeah, so I taught there from, let's see, 31...
So you got married in...
32, one, two.
Married in 34?
Yeah, we were married fall of 34. Yeah. I finished teaching there in the spring of 34.
Mm-hmm. And, so Irvin got on with his trucking company.
With the Connolly Trucking Company.
At Fort Peck.
At Fort Peck.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's a picture of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
There's Doris and Jack again. No, it was the summer of 35, I think. He hoped to get it on at the dam, but it was too short a wheelbase.
Mm-hmm.
So he used it that winter and hauled wood in for our winter wood supply, and also hauled coal. And that winter of 35, 36 was the one that was so cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that in some detail. Do you remember what kind of truck?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But that truck, he traded in the spring of 36, and we got our first good car, and I think that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Chevy, a green.
Mm-hmm.
A coupe.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it so we could get around.
Yeah. Do you remember what he paid for the truck?
I don't remember what he paid for the truck. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember what we paid for the car either.
Yeah.
But that truck he bought on time. That's the last vehicle he ever bought on time.
Yeah.
Because this, by combining with our savings and the truck, we paid for that. And every after that, he never bought a vehicle without paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you know, what did he do, going to Glasgow or someplace to buy that truck? Or
I don't know where he bought it.
Uh-huh.
I just don't recall that.
Yeah.
And I suppose we bought the car in Glasgow, I imagine. Because
mm-hmm.
that car, then, we used when he had the trouble with the foreman, and they wouldn't let him take that other test. So we drove it out to Grand Coulee.
This is what you came out.
And
came west in.
And he passed his test. And every day I used to wonder if he's going to still make it. But he did.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And, of course, the reason he got into the welding was because of this foreman at Fort Peck that... liked him, apparently. And during that really cold winter, he had a job in the where they issued the tools to the men in the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked inside. And it was a night shift. So when the foreman got the men all to working, then he would find his machine and teach Urban welding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the way they were able to
and
work
that.
And
that's how he learned welding.
Uh-huh, yeah. I thought that was a very very powerful thing of him getting up in the middle of the night to go do this. Mm-hmm. And,
he would. Yeah. And he often worked two shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wouldn't, especially that cold winter, or
uh-huh.
that first winter. It was so cold, and those old Macs had no doors.
Yeah.
And he would put in just one run after another. Uh-huh. You know, get through this one, I can really tell you.
Yeah.
And
How would you dress to go out in it when it was that cold?
Well, he put on what he had, and he had boots and wool socks, mm-hmm. and maybe several pairs, and all the coats he had, and they put, the men would put canvas and stuff over those, hung over those side doors, mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. to kind of keep the cold out.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that was his hardest winter, really, I think.
Yeah.
After he learned to weld, we got to Grand Coulee. Things were easier, but even then, there was scarcity of work.
Yeah.
And there were times when.
Yeah.
When he put in quite a bit of time. Uh-huh. He never had a really steady job until in 36 when the government was starting their defense program. Mm-hmm. And then they put in a call for welders from the Puget Sound Navy Yard. And he came over and passed his test. And they called him. Mm-hmm. And we moved over there then.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And so that...
When you had to go outside during that cold winter, what would a woman put on?
Of course, in Montana, we were used to having pretty warm clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't suppose I wandered very far on that coldest weather. I don't recall. But we wore a wool cap and mm-hmm. wool gloves.
What about on your legs? Would you have worn bib overalls or anything in those days or not?
No,
you would
I
not.
Didn't.
You were like my grandmother. You wouldn't
no,
be caught in those.
No, I didn't. I can remember crying because my aunts would come out to the homestead and we wanted to go pick berries and it was real thorny. So they'd make me an Imogene, I guess, wear some of our dad's old overalls. They must have been awful big for us, but mm-hmm. my dad wasn't a big man. And I cried because I wore the pants.
Okay.
But I didn't wear anything like that there. Now, you know, we'd have these warm pants.
Yeah.
Now I just wear pants all the time
because
they're warm.
Yeah, right.
But
you'd get by with, probably... boots and warm socks. And
but people got by with not as many clothes as you might think. They
mm-hmm.
just wore it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've read in books where there were people that were in real hard times and they didn't have what you'd call really good clothes.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that house warm at all that winter?
It was warm, but 3 tons of coal was all burned with the wood.
Is that right?
But the house was built... actually, Urban built it, I think, in New Deal, and then after we were married, he moved it over into this Park Grove, and that's Park Grove there, but I can't see the house. I've never been there. I think it's over here somewhere.
Okay.
But that's how Park Grove looked in the
winter.
Okay,
and I've got some other
that first winter of 34 and 35.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't such a cold winter, you see. And we had the house was kind of, there was a bank kind of back of the house, and that sheltered it from the wind.
Uh-huh.
Quite a lot, and I think that's in that book that the story Mary.
Yeah, let me get a map here, and you can locate Park Grove for me a little bit. I hope. I guess one thing I hadn't tumbled to is how much brush and trees and so forth were still around.
Well, there
Park
was
Grove.
There was quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was in the area of the arid area of the state, so there was sagebrush and there was low trees. There were cottonwoods,
mm-hmm.
and I remember that cold winter that you could hear the sap cracking, snapping in those trees.
Really?
Uh-huh. I had read about it, you know.
Uh-huh, but that's...
We grew up with Jack London, and what was that other writer that wrote?
Right.
I can't think of his name now.
Yeah.
And he...
This is probably colder than Jack London ever thought of seeing.
He never saw it as cold as that.
Yeah,
up there.
Right. So,
and,
so you could hear that...
You could, that would snap, you know.
Kind of like rifle shots, Sylvie, or what? Or
more like ice cracking or something.
I see, like ice cracking.
Uh-huh. When Urban went to work, I remember, he wore a scarf over his face.
Yeah.
And he said... that crystals, kind of a fog hung in the air above you, maybe 15, 20 feet above. And it was, you could look up and there were crystals, ice crystals in the air. And it was still.
Mm-hmm.
That was one thing. There wasn't wind with that cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Did you have much snow?
I don't remember that we had an exceptional lot that mm-hmm. was any trouble to get around with that mm-hmm. year.
Yeah, that's sometimes the case.
But we kind of took snow for granted, you
see. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't remember there was an exceptional lot. I don't know that there was. Uh-huh.
And that was a cold snap that lasted and lasted. Then,
yes,
wasn't it?
True. I see that government thermometer showed 62 degrees, but I don't know for how long.
Mm-hmm.
But the temperature hang around the 40s all February.
40 below
of,
through.
Of 30, that would be February 36.
36, uh-huh.
No wonder we left.
Yeah, right. You guys had some smarts anyway.
No wonder.
Okay. Do you remember where the coal came from? Did Irvin haul that in?
Oh, I'm not just sure. He hauled it in, but it was from, they had some kind of mines around there.
Mm.
Now, of course, Eastern Montana does have
yeah.
coal mines now. And
yeah.
I don't know that this was the most top grade of coal, but still it was very satisfactory.
It was pretty good. Huh? It wasn't this...
It didn't make too much ash, as I recall.
Wasn't this old brown and stuff that...
Naturally, we didn't have a very big stove.
Yeah.
So we had what they called then a laundry stove, and it was narrow with just two burners on top
mm-hmm.
and no oven,
mm-hmm.
which was a little bit inconvenient. But
yeah.
I finally found a little square thing that fitted over a burner,
mm-hmm.
and we could bake cookies in it.
That fit over the stove lid.
I mean over the stove lid.
Over the stove lid.
Stove lid. And you could bake a little on it, maybe some biscuits or...
Oh, I see.
Cookies.
So this is a little...
This was just a little...
Like a small oven you put on top of the stove.
Yeah, you put it on top.
Uh-huh.
Just a little, and it wasn't real heavy metal, but fairly,
uh-huh.
fairly good. And it would work. It would get hot enough to bake cookies, which couldn't break bread in it
yeah.
because it just
yeah.
was too small.
Yeah. Did you burn cottonwood? Do you remember doing any of that?
No, we didn't burn cottonwood. I don't know what this wood was that he got.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good wood.
I've seen other pictures.
It was kind of dirty.
It was.
Because it had been charred a little. There'd been a fire or something. But
uh-huh.
it burned well.
Yeah. I've seen other pictures of big wood piles. I'll show you here. It looked to me like it was cottonwood.
It could have been.
My memory is that cottonwood burns pretty fast, not much of a...
No, I would imagine
not
it
much
does,
of a fire
it isn't
wood,
a real hard wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you see, there's a few. I think
mm-hmm.
those are cottonwoods there.
Yeah.
And it would have been willows.
Yeah. Okay. So you got a picture of your house?
I think that's in this other... The year Mary was born.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
this
is just
wide
after we were married. We were there at Mother's place.
Uh-huh.
Or Christmas, I think it was.
Urban's got on...
See, he's got on these... what he's got. You can't tell there.
Boots of... High-lace boots, it looks
high
like.
High-laced. Yeah, they were. He'd wear high-laced
uh-huh.
boots. Yeah, he did
uh-huh.
wear high-laced boots. In fact, I had a pair, too.
Uh-huh.
But you can see there, that was at... let's see. Maybe it was Thanksgiving instead of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Because Irma's folks came up and saw us. And I think they came at Christmas. And then, here's the house.
Okay.
The first house he ever built. And it was Celotex. And there was a chimney. And a window on each side. The doors on that end. That was a little sheep wagon that was brought in. And we didn't. I think somebody else did. I don't know who. But Urban's friend of Urban stayed in it for a while trying
uh-huh.
to get on at the dam. But he, real nice fellow, but he couldn't seem to put himself across. He eventually went to work for an auto company in Billings and was there all his life.
Oh, sorry. Turned out he's just looking for his niche
job.
Selling cars. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a summertime view.
What do you got
and
growing over it?
That's wild morning glory.
Really?
I had to have something.
Yeah.
I always was out of green thumb.
Yeah.
And it comes.
Let's see, is this the other side of the house from here?
No, I think it's the same side.
It is the same side, huh?
Mm-hmm, same
My
side.
Gosh. So.
And we had a little platform here, and there's the tub that I filled.
Yeah.
In. And then my steamer trunk we put there and put the a little canvas over it.
Uh-huh.
They'd fine. Didn't get damp or anything.
Uh-huh.
But you see what the weather was.
Yeah.
Out here, that Celotex was soaked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 8 by 14 by 6 high in the center, you know, because it had it sort of, you can see your slant.
Did it bow a little?
It just so that there would be a little drainage if there was happened to be any rain.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how would they put these houses together? Irvin went off and just bought everything for the house, or were they kind of selling them as...
No, he went out and bought. This is all on his own.
It's all on his own.
Everybody did what they what they could do, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they
actually, we did have a friend, Jack Stone, who I boarded with Jack and Bertha Stone up in Pig Eye, and they had the ranch up there that has always been a resort. And it's been owned for a long time by the Carrells. I forget what they called it. And they were old-timers,
mm-hmm.
and I knew them.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Stone went up at least the summer. He must have gone up the summer of 33 and worked as a carpenter, because that was his trade, and helped build those barracks. And then he built a quite a bit better house, a two-room house. And, of course, he was a carpenter, he did better. But he probably gave Irvin some pointers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what's the two-tone, the
base? Well, this is tar paper.
That's tar paper, I see. Okay, so he's got...
And it was lined with veneer
inside,
but with no insulation.
Mm-hmm.
And in the clothes closet, I think there was part of it that wasn't lined with veneer. And a little cold weather, little ice particles around.
Ice particles on the wall in that corner, yeah.
And then the cupboards and things were simply made, he just had shelving and framing for it. And I hung curtain or material over to make little curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our cupboards.
Mm-hmm.
And the clothes closet was just... shelf and
mm-hmm. No cupboard doors.
No,
you hung the curtains
doors,
over.
No.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You see, that would have been kind of beyond him anyway. I think he said the material was $85.
Uh huh. Yeah. So he's got tar paper up to
about
waist high on
here. Waist high as I stand.
2.5-3 feet.
Yeah.
And then it's this veneer.
Celotex, and then the veneer inside.
Stovepipe is couple feet high, fairly high.
I don't know how high it was.
It's fairly high stovepipe.
Fairly high.
Okay. Is this sort of a sidewalk?
No, it was just, I think he has banked up.
Banked up,
that's
yeah.
it. It's
that's
really,
it.
It really comes down, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's banked up, but there's tar paper under that.
Mm-hmm.
That's banked up to keep the cold.
That's
out
right. So we're probably looking at dirt here at the bottom.
Yeah,
of
very
the tar
likely. I'm
paper.
Sure it's dirt.
So he's got dirt along the bottom of the tar paper, and then
he framed it with a little wood.
Framed in with probably 2x4s.
Yeah,
it looks
I think
right
so.
To make
I'm
a kind
sure.
of embankment.
Yeah.
Okay.
2x4.
Good. What color were these morning glories?
Oh, they were the blue.
They're blue.
Yeah, they're blue. We have the same thing out here.
Okay, it's like we see around,
here.
Uh-huh.
And you see them down in the, I've seen it growing down there in Zion National Park,
mm-hmm.
you know, around.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a common.
Okay, so at the height of summer here, you, yeah, at the height of summer here, you had them
but
as high as the roof and out a couple of feet either side of the window. Mm-hmm. It almost covered your window here.
Yeah, it made it kind of a pretty little decoration.
Mm-hmm. So, you're looking pretty sharp here.
I'm dressed up in my good clothes.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we even had a camera. Somebody
uh-huh.
might have taken that.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get, we had a camera then after we were out here, but I didn't really get into photography until 1964.
Yeah. So your dress here comes
and you can see
about your chins, I guess?
Just about midway down.
Mm-hmm, midway down.
It was, I think it was a black dress with some beading or something around
beading
the top.
Beading around the top, a kind of a scoop neck on it.
And that was my dress.
And down the...
But not my wedding dress.
Down the shoulders here, there's a white...
I don't know what that
white
was.
Bands, you had kind of, you had
short sleeves
on it that that came down to about your biceps. Tell me about getting water.
Well, they had a well there in Park Grove, but you'd pump the water out and it was full of rusty flakes. And then it would settle and people drank it, and we tried to, but I got deathly sick.
Did you?
I got deathly sick. So we started, we bought water, mm-hmm. and they came around with a truck and sold us water.
Big tank on the truck,
big
and
tank.
Draw it out of
and, that. And some of the women put lye and broke the water and used it to wash. We had washing machines.
That's right,
and
I
Mrs.
forgot.
Mrs. Stone had a washing machine, and we would buy, I would pay for the barrel of water and the soap and stuff, and then we did the washing together for the four of us. But it was her machine.
So you'd buy a barrel of water,
and that way we got good soft water to do the washing.
Yeah.
And we didn't have to break it with lye.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have to wash on the board, though I have done that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'd forgotten about breaking water with lye. Do you remember, can you describe that to me?
I don't know what the process was, because my mother never, she must have done it when they were first on the homestead until she got the cistern. And after that, they didn't, because the water was soft, But
I've heard my grandmother talk about that. Now
but
that
I don't know
it,
how that was, how much you used, or just what you did. I don't know about that.
Do you have to remember anything about the price of water?
No, I don't know that either. I just took for granted a lot of
And I read someplace, I don't see one on your place, that people had kind of clock faces that would indicate how much water they wanted, whether it was... A pointer would go to how many gallons or something
like
that.
And they'd leave it out for them if they were working or something.
Yeah,
I think they did that.
Yeah. Wash day, though, you would have, a big barrel?
We had a regular big barrel. I exchanged it probably every
50
time.
50-gallon or something?
Something like that. At least a 50-gallon barrel.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it was a regular-sized barrel, which was a common size.
Yeah. And you had a clothesline someplace, did you?
Yeah, but it doesn't show
doesn't
there.
Doesn't show there.
I think we had the clothes over at the Stones, that they had the clotheslines, because we did the washing over there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. What about Saturday night baths? That was that.
Mm-hmm.
The wash tub.
The wash tub. And you heated the water on the stove.
Heated the water on the stove,
And I don't know. I didn't have a boiler, so I don't know. I imagine I heated it with kettles or a tea kettle. Probably a couple of them, that's the way we took a bath.
Galvanized then, tub for baths, yeah.
We had a studio couch, what they called a studio couch, and that meant it was a couch, and then there was one that slid under, so it kind of...
Oh, yeah.
You might have heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put them out, the one was a little bit lower than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were awfully wide for... You know, it would take most of your bedding. So we ended up sleeping on the top one, and leaving the other one stuck. Rather than pulling it out. And it was warmer, and we were small.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was only, weighed 108, I guess, when we were married. And Irvin weighed around 117 or 120, something like that.
Uh-huh.
We were small people.
Yeah, you guys are about the size of my folks, actually.
And I know he said that when he had to throw up that, end gate on those big dump trucks, he couldn't just lift it up.
Mm-hmm.
He swung it
and
got the momentum and got it into place.
To shove it up.
He just simply couldn't have lifted it.
Well, can you tell me about your bedding?
Well, I guess we had cotton blankets, I imagine, because those were common.
Uh-huh.
Or else you had one, you know, the double kind, the old cotton, and it was just extra long. I mean, it was a regular, it was like you had two sheets sewn together, only it was all woven together, so that you had one for the bottom, and then you didn't have to worry about your feet coming out at the bottom.
I see.
And I don't think we had only bedding enough for the one bed. I know we didn't, because after we came to Bremerton, and we had rented that little house and had one bedroom, but there was a couch. And I didn't have bedding enough, really, for two beds, for a guest. Not hardly enough. Because everything we packed in that coupe. for a while. Then we advanced, finally we had to have a trailer, and my husband built that.
Now, I don't see any radio aerial on here either.
No.
You guys didn't have a radio there.
No, we didn't have a radio.
Uh-huh.
No, we had no radio.
Okay.
And we had no...
Do you have any luxury?
No, but we never thought we were deprived, especially.
Yeah, we're glad to be there.
No,
have an income.
And actually, we both grew up on homesteads.
Yeah.
With similar kind of facilities, or lack of them.
Yeah.
And kerosene, we had a kerosene lamp.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have electricity whole time you were there, so you had a kerosene lamp.
They never ran any electric lights around there.
Uh-huh.
Those were all shacks. They were just put up, that people put up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too bad I don't have pictures of some of the others.
Mm-hmm. I've got a few I'll dig out. I'm not sure they're Park Grove, but...
they'd be all typical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about... what about the food?
$5 a week. We shopped.
Shopped on $5 a week.
Uh-huh. And then we might have a few things like some milk or maybe a little meat during the week.
Mm-hmm. And you'd go uptown to this mom and pop.
And we'd go to the mom and pop, and that's where we bought it. I remember, I think we ran an account there. Because when we decided to come out and see if we could... You pass tests at Grand Coulee.
Mm-hmm.
We went down and told the people at the store where we're going, what we're going to do, and that we would send the money.
Mm-hmm.
And we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They were nice. They were awfully nice people, man and wife. They were just wonderful.
Did you use canned goods quite a bit?
We used for vegetables. We did.
Mm-hmm.
We did use canned goods.
Yeah.
We used to do our own canning, but I didn't have any garden.
Right,
so I couldn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
I remember the schools. Of course, at that time, a married woman had a hard time getting a job.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother taught because she had 3 kids to bring into the district. And she could live in a teacher's.
So.
And a lot of young women didn't want to.
Yeah, so she helped justify a school.
So that's how she made out pretty well.
Uh-huh.
But I did substitute one day for a young woman that was teaching there in somewhere. I don't know where it was there now. But I remember there were about 60 kids for that one teacher.
Really?
Ooh. And I suppose all the grades. And you just kind of had to herd them through it.
Yeah.
You know, one day... But they were good kids, you know.
Yeah.
They weren't kids like you run into now,
mm-hmm.
Especially in the poor districts. But all these kids were poor.
Uh-huh.
You know, their folks were struggling.
How'd you spend your days?
Well, I think back on it now, I think I must have had some boring times with it, but I don't think of it as being boring.
Yeah.
Because I had been teaching, you know, but there wasn't that much for a woman to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the time passed, and of course it was all new, and I had friends.
Mm-hmm.
There were other
quite a lot of visiting.
We visited each other, and there were...
Did you ever get in card parties or anything?
I don't know that we played cards, but we did some, but... Saturday night, we went dancing out at the dance halls and bars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were beer parlors.
Mm-hmm.
See, prohibition had just
ended.
And I think, what was it, 33?
Mm-hmm.
33 it ended.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember the first time Irvin and I went in Lewistown and went into a beer parlor.
Uh-huh.
We never had been in anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And so when we came to Fort Peck, this was... something we just never experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pure. Another thing, when we were married, we came up here, and of course he'd made friends. So they shivareed us. You know the old...
I was going to ask you if you'd been shivareed and what they did.
Well, I can't remember now just exactly, but they came, and we were supposed to be a surprise, and made a lot of racket.
And this is at Fort Peck.
This was at Fort Peck,
uh-huh.
And we were in this little house.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's before we moved it, probably. I'm sure it was, because it was within the first week we were there. And then they got us up. I guess we waited till we'd gone to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Got us up, and then we went for a tour of all the beer joints.
Oh, I see. During the charivari.
During the charivari. And danced at different places and had a big ball. I remember, I think it was at this time that we were in one of the places, and there was a young woman, and she came out and she danced. And she was dancing for people to throw her money. And they kind of laughed at her, you know, and made fun.
Yeah.
And she came back then into the background somewhere, and I think she cried. At the time, I was young, and I didn't sympathize, but I do now.
Uh-huh.
I do now.
Yeah.
She was among the rest of them that were poor. She was doing the only thing she knew, and she loved to dance.
Uh-huh.
So it was a little unfair. I don't think there was very much of the fun making, but there was a little.
Yeah.
She just wasn't like she wasn't respected exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And more like that.
Do you remember what kind of dance she did?
No, I don't remember.
But she was dancing by herself.
But she was dancing by herself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And she probably didn't really know much about dancing.
Yeah, really. Yeah, right. Were the beer joints, by and large, in Wheeler that you went to, or not necessarily?
Oh, they were all around.
They were everywhere.
They weren't in Wheeler necessarily.
Yeah.
We never went down to the government town. That was all very spick and span.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember ever going to anything down there.
Mm-hmm.
But all around there were little beer joints. Those were ways for people to, somebody make a little mm-hmm. money, too.
Now, the government town is Fort Peck. It's now the city of Fort Peck, I guess, where the engineers and the Army Corps.
Yeah, the government town was where the engineers lived.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not all the supervisory people.
That was
all of them that had any influence at all or any job at all lived down there.
Uh-huh.
And
and
they had I think they had a school down there too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the rest kind of got along.
Uh-huh.
But you remember what it was like then in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Your folks.
My folks remember.
Your folks would remember.
Yeah. And I'm from.
So you're.
I'm from Ringling, and Ringling wasn't. A lot better by the time I was a kid there in the 40s. So.
No.
No,
and of course Denton. There's a picture of Denton that Mary has in her book, you know,
uh-huh.
in 1919.
Yeah.
Well, that was about the way it was.
Yeah,
she gave me the picture. I have it here somewhere.
Okay, when you go on the town like this, Sylvie, you guys drink beer straight from the bottle? Is this the sort of thing, or...?
I think they did some, but mm-hmm. I think they also served with glasses and tables.
Okay, you would have glasses
that,
and...
You know. And then we danced.
Some amenities. And
and the music, I think it would be casual players. It probably wouldn't be too many in a little group to play. But they usually had live music.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think always live music.
Uh-huh.
And because it wouldn't have been any other available.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Okay, good. Anything else on the...
This, I don't know. You probably... Have you had...
getting your hair done and so forth. Any memories of that? Didn't?
I never had my hair
done. Never had your hair done. You would fix your own...
I don't remember. I think I had... I probably had barbed... short hair then. Let's see. How did my hair look? I think I had bobbed hair at that
mm-hmm.
time. I've had long hair a couple times. Well, I had it as a little child, and they cut it off. And then I had bobbed hair through high school. I had bobbed hair through high school. And the other girls had long hair.
Uh-huh.
I had long hair in college. And I was never quite in line.
Yeah.
Proper timing.
Yeah. Well, there's a sign, and I've seen one of the historic photos of in downtown Wheeler, again, there was a beauty shop, and it says over the top in big letters, permanents range from $3.50 to $5 or $6. Mm-hmm. So that would have been pretty pricey, and so you saved a lot of money.
Well, I remember having a permanent, and I had that mm-hmm. in Missoula. I was there. I went to school in Missoula my third year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there the previous summer. See, I went there the summer of
of 28. I graduated from Dillon the spring of 27, and I taught that next year. And then I went 28 that summer. I went to summer school, and I went that following year through to 29.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some senior credits.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a permanent. And I remember those things stuck way up. And my hair was straight, and I never pulled it. And I thought I was going to die before she got it.
Let's see, are these things that would crimp in the waves?
They were metal. They were metal things of some kind, and there was a solution she put on, and then and then it had to be on there so long. It's been so long now, I've kind of forgotten.
Yeah. Well, do you remember your first look at Fort Peck, the dam site?
Yes.
What did it seem like?
But I don't remember exactly how it looked.
Mm.
For one thing, we were married on a Saturday in Great Falls. The same minister that married my closest friend, Mabel Ogden's and Jack. When she was married, she married George Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a county superintendent in later years.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a job. I think it was out near Colon, and I don't really remember exactly Colon's location now, but I think it's still on some of the old maps. Anyway, that was the first time I stayed in the teachage, and I was to get $75 a month. I started at Sapphire Mines at $135, and then the Depression's to hit.
Wow.
That was the most I'd ever made.
Uh-huh.
Well, then the Depression hit, and they had to cut back. But I got that job, and I taught there a month. And by then, Urban had the house built, and he wanted us to get married. So Mabel had been married by then, but she didn't have a job, and she thought, I guess, that she would just as soon teach again.
Mm-hmm.
So she took the job over. Mm-hmm. So they had a good teacher because she was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And she finished the year out there. And that was lonely. You know, I'd never stayed in a teacher's before.
Yeah.
She found it lonely, too. She found out she was there being old year. She got to meet some friends, the women there in the neighborhood. So she got along better after she got acquainted. But it was a small school. I don't remember how many I had, but not very many.
Yeah.
And so we went, Urban came down the week before. You see, we were married the 29th of September, and that was a Saturday. So he was down there the week before, and one of those fall storms hit.
Mm. In September,
He and Mrs. Stone left Fort Peck, and it was quite nice. And they hit a blizzard, and out not far from Big Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
The car slipped off the road. So Urban drained it, and they hiked across the field about a quarter of a mile, and he flagged down a train, freight train.
Mm-hmm.
And they rode on into Great Falls on that.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember just how
else. And you met him in there? And
no, I didn't meet him. Somebody else must have.
Ah, uh-huh.
Mrs. Stone came back to see about things at the ranch, and so Urban must have borrowed a car or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, of course, I had my car, and I had a little 29 Ford coupe, and I paid $285 for that.
Uh-huh.
And Urban sold it after we were married for $275, and he said, I didn't remember you. Paid $285. I could have got $285 for it.
Come out absolutely even instead.
And anyway, so I had a car to get around, and I finished up that week, and Saturday I went into Great Falls, and we got our clothes. He got a new suit. I got a new dress, And by the time we finished shopping and went to the minister's house, it was about noon. And we were married there. Mrs. Stone was a witness and the minister's wife. He was a retired minister. We were married in his parlor. Well, then, we headed back for Fort Peck. And Mrs. Stone had her car. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She rode with us in my car until we got to Big Sandy. And Irvin got his car out then, and filled the thing with water.
Filled the radiator. That he drained.
And then he and I don't know whether we drove in his car, either one of the cars. Mrs. Stone drove
took,
one.
Took one of the cars.
Riding room and drove the other.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And we got in about midnight.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, he had had to pile everything inside that little room, you know, because he didn't want to leave it out,
yeah,
you know, being gone that long. So we kind of piled in there and got in, got settled down. So that was our honeymoon night. And then the next day, we took an airplane ride.
Uh-huh.
And that celebrated.
Yeah, I guess.
And
there at the
flew
dam.
Around. That's how I, but I can't remember how it looked. That's too bad.
Yeah.
I guess I was tired from the trip, and,
yeah,
you know, I just couldn't take everything in.
Do you remember where the airport was?
No, I don't remember that either.
But it was there, the one.
There was a little airport
there at the
of some
dam,
kind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it probably was just a little, well, it took the two of us and the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
That was all it could carry.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't
so
there.
He took you up.
It wasn't
through your road to the river and so forth, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, we probably went up and down the river and around. Mm-hmm. He probably showed us the area, but, you know, I just cannot remember.
Uh-huh.
When I had my 21st birthday, and I was in Missoula, that was the year I was in Missoula. 29, because I would have been 21, May 1st. I was born in 1908, so I would have been 21, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
And I had my 21st birthday, and I went for a ride then.
You did.
But that was a little bigger plane, and you could go out to the airport.
Uh-huh.
And those fellows had been flying for forest fire fighting
yeah,
and all that. That was, they were some of the first real good flyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was, I really remembered that.
Yeah. Right. So.
That was
celebrating. Yeah, well, anyway, that was some kind of celebration.
They'd fly around over the dam. We
yeah.
did that.
Uh-huh.
But.
Now, a lot of people I've talked to about that part of the country, you remember how muddy and gumbo-y it is. Does that jibe with you?
It was muddy, all right, and it had gumbo, and I can remember. I don't remember so much about Fort Peck.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember the Homestead coming in
yeah.
from Denton. And
yeah,
from
you grew up in enough mud.
And I drove to high school. Horse and buggy, and I can remember the mud come way up on
build up on the
not
the wheels.
Quite to the hubs, but
yeah.
halfway up anyway, and it was pretty slow poking along.
I wonder if Fort Peck had that old blue gumbo,
I don't remember that. I do remember, I remember the blue gumbo up there at, what's that town in northern Alaska? It's a good-sized city up in northern Alaska. What? You know it.
In northern Alaska. Beyond Fairbanks and the rest, you mean?
It's over east of Fairbanks. Oh, no, it is Fairbanks. Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Fairbanks,
mm-hmm.
Alaska. That's the one.
Uh-huh.
I do remember that we, when we were traveling up there, we ran into that route.
Uh-huh.
And we stayed in a campground where man said he kept putting gravel on it and it just kept sinking away.
Kept disappearing. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so I remember that, Blue, but I don't remember.
Don't remember
Peck,
too much of Fort Peck, huh?
Especially.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that they had, that some of the roads were surfaced quite a bit.
Uh huh. Yeah, well, I think actually
I
they
think
did
the main
pave
were.
A lot of that. I was going to ask you, let's see, there was a movie theater at Fort Peck. Do you guys ever go to that much? Or?
Well, the one in Wheeler we went to.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember going.
Not necessarily that.
Down to the. I don't know if there was. Was there one down there in the government town?
Yeah, there. It's now a kind of a summer theater. They put on plays. There's big gingerbready. kind of Swiss looking place. So that wasn't anything
That wasn't with them.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't ever really remember going to. We might have gone to movies in Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Were you into Glasgow much?
We went in every now and then. I think. And of course, Nashaway was smaller. And Glasgow was the bigger town.
Yeah.
I think Nashaway was only 10 miles or so from.
Yeah, I guess that from I guess it would be.
But Glasgow's a bit further.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. Okay.
And.
Okay. Let's see. And well, Urban really got a start in.
He got a start in a craft, a trade.
Didn't he? Yeah.
And then, of course, when he went to Grand Coulee, he did more. And then, in '39, the government was pushing their defense work, and they called for welders at Puget Sound Navy Yard, and so he went over. I came over with him. I remember driving around the town over there while he was taking his tests. And then we went back to Grand Coulee, and I think he was called. And so I stayed there while he went because we didn't have a place to stay yet over in Bremerton.
So he went to the Navy.
And he went to work in the Navy shipyard in 36. Mm-hmm. And he was 26 years old. Let's see. No. He went to work there in 36. No, he was 23.
Mm-hmm.
He was 23. And he worked as a welder, and of course they work you up through stages, you know. And then they needed ship fitters. And so he went to work as a ship fitter, I think a second grade. They didn't start him at the bottom. And in the meantime, let's see, did he take any? It seems to me.
Get to high school?
Or
did he? Or is he like my dad with an eighth grade education?
He started, I think, his freshman year in Hobson.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came home Christmas, and there was snow, and they needed feeding, and he just never got back,
I guess.
I don't think he got to finish his first year. It could have been into his second year, but I think that was all. And his family, of course, had no picture of what education could be.
Yeah.
They'd always been rural people, and so Irvin's mother was orphaned young and raised by her grandparents, and she had about fourth grade education, but she wrote a good hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she could look at a dress in a picture and make a pattern out of a newspaper and make it. So you see, it runs there. So
yeah.
It was a good deal of ability.
Yeah.
And
so his draft.
On that side of the family. And his father wasn't very ambitious. And he put his boys to work early. Mm. So Irvin was probably working in the field when he was 10.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And doing a man's work by the time he was 15 or 16.
Yeah.
So he just didn't have much chance. But after we got to, then we went to, after we'd been at Grand Coulee, we went to that winter of 36. We saved our money because we were making. He's making $1.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
75 cents is a truck driver,
mm-hmm.
or the best he could do then at that time. So we saved our money and we drove down to San Francisco and spent the winter. And then we went to both went to night school, and he took more courses in drawing and stuff. And there was a big marine strike then. What was that big steamship line?
Oh, yeah.
And those big ships were down there along the docks, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can't recall the name of that company, but anyway.
One of the Harry Bridges strikes, I think.
I don't know if it was or not, but Harry Bridges, when we were here in Seattle, Harry Bridges was much known.
Yeah.
I see they've had kind of a nice write-up about him just lately. And
there's
some memorial for him.
There's now Harry Bridges, chair of labor relations,
that's
I think, at the University of Washington.
About.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which,
he's very highly respected.
Yeah.
And he was, I guess, quite a remarkable man.
Yeah.
I think he was a much finer man than this old Teamster guy that just died.
Beck.
Beck. Mm-hmm. Beck was smart, all right, and I think he did a lot for the Teamsters, but he also did a lot for Ed Beck.
yeah, right. So, well, I was going to ask you, that reminds me, on Fort Peck, do you remember, was there ever any labor union
no disputes. There?
No disputes or anything? And Irvin didn't have
I don't, now as a truck driver, he didn't have to belong to a union.
Mm-hmm.
When we came to Grand Coulee, he joined the Boilermakers.
Uh-huh.
And he belonged to them the rest of his life.
And that was in a welding job?
Yeah, it was in a welding job. Yeah. Of course, they were steel workers.
Yeah.
And Irvin liked working with metal.
Mm-hmm.
He said he liked it better than carpenter work, really.
Mm-hmm.
But he did belong to the Carpenters Union for a while. But then while, after going back to his acquiring his education, he learned that sheet metal work. And the first work he did for himself was putting in the runs for a furnace in our house.
Mm-hmm.
At, we had a man build it for us in a new district there, up on the hill in the east, Bremerton, mm-hmm. Manette they called it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a view lot. We paid $500,
uh-huh.
and then got a loan, a commercial loan at the bank, and we all did. We painted. And two of Irvin's sisters came out with us about that time. We were going to go to school.
Yeah.
His younger sisters. And they helped. And when we got all the painting done, they put up the sheetrock, but we did all the stripping, and we made ourselves a lot of work because we made too much sand in between,
yeah,
mortar.
Yeah.
Anyway, when they came and inspected it from the bank, they were very pleased.
Thought it looked okay.
He did his cement work and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the walks, not the foundation, but the walks and all that. So he was learning all the time, you see.
Yeah.
And then he worked in the sheet metal shop for the rest of the war, and then there wasn't much to do, so he would... He did, well, before the war ended, he did some teaching of the craft, mm-hmm. to others. And then he, when they were short of work, he knew he was going to quit after a while. And, because he didn't want to stay. We'd had a permanent job there, but advancement would have been slow, and he was wanting to keep going.
Yeah.
So we sold our house. I think we got $7,500 out of it, and we invested $2,900 plus the $500.
Mm-hmm.
So we did
on
that.
Yeah.
And of course, at that time, things went up, you know, it was rising.
Yeah.
And so that was the money that we saved, that money. And that was the money he used to start himself.
Uh-huh.
And he and his brother Cliff bought some lots out in South Seattle and built some small little two-bedroom houses that were greatly in demand. And sold them right away. And so then they went on from that and built others. And,
mm-hmm.
and then Cliff went to work for another company, and Irvin worked for himself. Well, they worked off and on for each other, because I remember Cliff was working for him when he was building houses here in Bellevue.
Mm-hmm.
And they would work together, and they could frame a house. They just worked really well together.
Uh-huh.
And...
And Irvin carried on with that line of work?
And then he got into general contracting, and I don't remember exactly. He met a man who was an insurance broker who did insuring, bonding, and all that kind of thing.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Ed Head. And he was one of the reasons that Irvin made out pretty well too, uh-huh. because Ed liked him and they got along really well. And he, first job they did was tearing down some little structure out at the airport, and they made pretty good money at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he and Cliff. He and Cliff, Irvin did his own estimating. And he got him a building, I can't remember what it was, down there at Packwood, you know, on the highway out of Highway 12?
Yeah, right.
You should go out towards over White Pass?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, what was that built down there? But they did well with that, and each time he brought his bounty up.
Uh-huh.
And so it ended that among the buildings he built a school at Anacortes. I don't know whether it was an addition. I think it was an addition at Martha Lake.
Mm-hmm.
I hear, you know where that is. A school at Quincy. A bank at Centralia. There's a meat market out here at Issaquah that's still there.
Oh, is that right? Huh.
Down in the main part. They had an article about it here not long ago.
Huh.
He didn't build much around here in Bellevue for some reason.
Well, did he have his own crew working for him?
He had a few men that would always come and work for him.
To call on, yeah.
Yeah, he could call on, but he didn't. Uh-huh. And when he'd run out of a job, well, then he'd have to sit down and bid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I guess I've got another place. I've got some old.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. There's something.
Yeah, you're just talking
about. And that's his car, because it's got the little... I think he had one of those little rumble seats.
Mm-hmm.
My car, my coupe didn't have a rumble seat.
Yeah.
That's the two of us.
You're wearing a sun hat, huh? Or a hat of some kind?
Yeah, it was a warm day in July.
Yeah.
Before.
I've forgotten from Mary's book, did you meet at a dance like everybody else always did or not? Where did you first meet Urban? Where did you first meet Urban?
Meet Urban? I met him when I was teaching there in Pigott. The first time I met him was the first year I went up there to teach. I went. He came over. He rode over Kings Mountain, Hill.
Yeah, Kings Hill from the White Sulphur Country.
From White Sulphur. Yeah. He rode over on horseback, and he stopped. I was boarding with his uncle and aunt, Roy and Helen Noel.
Mm-hmm.
And this uncle was the youngest in there in that generation, so he wasn't too many years older. And in fact, his wife is about the same age as I am. And she's still living, but she's not in very good health. And Urban came over, and I walked home from school, it was about half a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And they introduced us.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on upstairs and didn't pay any attention. And then I laughed afterwards because I said, you know, my guardian angel should have said, here.
Tapped you on the shoulder, huh?
And then, in the summer of, in 33, for some reason, he was out of work. He came back and he was helping his uncle put up hay.
Mm.
And I came, it was time for school to start, and I came over. I remember I had those high boots, and I had some pants that tucked in, and a hat, and all that stuff. You know. And so Helen was going to take out the men's meal for them.
To the field.
A hot meal, you know. So I went with her. And they had a table out under some willowy trees. And I met him again. But he didn't remember the first meeting.
Oh, he didn't either. He didn't remember that.
And of course he was younger than me. So when he wanted to ask me for a date, I kind of put him off because I didn't, I felt he's too much younger. But one day I kind of thought it over, and I thought, well, there's not much doing unless you go around somewhere with somebody.
Yeah.
So I had to go and have my warrant signed. I had to have two signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go up to Sam Baxter's to have it signed. By the way, Sam Baxter was the father of the man that rode along with Urban in the another car and had the two children.
Okay.
And he was kind of a ne'er-do-well, but old Sam was a pretty good old guy.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I asked Urban if he wanted to go along and open gates. Oh, yeah, he would. So I often told him afterwards he'd been opening gates for me all these years. So that's the story.
Yeah. All right.
And there he is in 1966.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same time. These are pictures I've taken.
Yeah.
That one faded badly. But.
Well, did Urban have any favorite sayings or expressions? I kind of collect those.
Let's see. He didn't, but his mother did.
Oh, okay.
His mother had one that, and I told Mary about it, and I finally found out its origin.
Huh, what's this?
Just not long ago. sit, if you do something, if you did something and made a mistake or did something wrong, you had to sit on the blister.
Never heard that.
And where do you think I found it? In old jewels, Marie Sandals.
Oh, is that right? Uh-huh.
And it's in there, and I've written down the exact quotation.
Huh.
What was that? And I was so struck, I wrote it down in a little notebook. Nell like Marge, she had burned her backside, but she sat on the blister.
Uh-huh.
And okay. I got the page and everything. I told Mary I thought that was the most graphic expression.
Yeah, that certainly
I've always been
that's
struck
the,
by
That's but a lot beyond Grin and Barrett, isn't it?
Yes.
Which is the general...
It really is excellent. I got to thinking about old jewels, something else I read, and about abuse, and I hadn't read it. I read it many years ago.
Yeah.
And Marie Sandals has been one of my favorite
writers
all these
years. Yeah,
I think she's wonderful.
I think she's wonderful. I think some of Mary's writing reminds me of Marie Sandals.
Very
fun stuff. What about in your own family? Any sayings that pop to mind?
No.
Mm-hmm.
My mother used to quote Thanatopsis.
Mm-hmm.
Go not like the gory slave. Mm. I can't remember. But it's that, those verses.
Yeah, I can never remember
I can't poetry remember that.
Either.
But when she died, I looked it all up and gave it to the minister.
Uh-huh.
Because she, I can remember her saying that, repeating those verses so many times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I can't think
Thanatopsis,
of
anything
at Urban or I, especially. Maybe it's so for granted. You take it so for granted. You think about it.
Right. So.
This was taken when we were in Bremerton.